This week's parsha is Parshas Bechukosai, and in Parshas Bechukosai we have the admonitions, which means that Hashem is telling us what is going to happen if we do not keep the Torah and do not keep the mitzvah of Shemitah, the mitzvah of the sabbatical years. On Pasuk number 42, right in the middle of the admonition, there is a Pasuk that is a debate if it's part of the admonition or it's part of the consolation array. The debate is because the next Pasuk, in Pasuk 43, the Torah continues if admonition and saying how we misbehaved. The Pasuk that I'm referring to is the Pasuk that says, Vezochartes Brisi Yaakov, I will remember my covenant of Yaakov. Yaakov, in this case, is spelled with an extra Vav, Yud Ayin Kof Vav Veis. Normally, a Yaakov is spelled without the Vav, but in this case, it's written Yaakov Male Full. V'af Es Brisi Yitzchak, also my covenant of Yitzchak. V'af Es Brisi Avraham Es Kor, and also my covenant of Avraham I will remember. V'ha'oretz Es Kor, and the earth I will remember. Like I mentioned, there is a machloikas if this pasuk is part of the admonition of part of the consolation, and we will take Rashi's interpretation that it is part of the consolation, and the pasuk means to say that I will remember my covenant of Yaakov, which means the promises that I made to Yaakov regarding his children, or the promise that I made to reward Yaakov for what he did and for the good he did, and my covenant of Yitzchak, and my covenant of Abraham, and the land I will remember, which we don't know exactly what it means according to Rashi, and we'll try to interpret what does it mean, Va'oretz Eskor, I'll remember the land, if it's part of the consolation, not part of the admonition, part of Hashem telling us that don't worry, even when things are going to be bad, I will still remember my covenant that I promised to Yaakov, Yitzchak and Avraham, in that order. We have to understand also what does it mean that the land I will remember. We'll first explain the first Rashi, where Rashi explains that Yaakov is written if extra Vav. So Rashi asks the question, why is Yaakov written with the extra Vav? Rashi brings the Medrash that says, Bechamisha makoimois nichtav mole. Five times Yaakov's name is written full, it's written with a Vav, Veliyahu choser bechamisha makoimois. And in contrast, exactly the opposite, Eliyahu's name is missing a Vav in five places. Eliyahu normally is written Aleph, Lamed, Yud, Hey, Vav, but in five places Eliyahu's name is written Aleph, Lamed, Yud, Hey. Why is it written missing the Vav? In other words, Eliyahu is missing a Vav in five places and Yaakov's name has a Vav in five places. What is the connection between them? The Rashi explains, Yaakov notal ois mishmoy shel Eliyahu yiravoin, that Yaakov took one of the letters of Eliyahu as a collateral, as a guarantee, sheyavoi veivaser geulo levonav, that he will come and announce the redemption to his children. Which means that since we know that Eliyahu Novi is the one that's going to announce the coming of the Mashiach, like the Pasuk in Malachi chapter 3, Pasuk number 23 says, Hine onechi sholeach lochem, I will be sending to you, Eis Eliyahu Hanavi, Eliyahu the prophet, there Eliyahu is written without the Vav, Lifnei boy yoyim Hashem ha-godol v'anoiro, before the great and awesome day will come, which means the day of the coming of the Mashiach. So Eliyahu there is written missing a Vav. Hey, in five places like that, it's missing a Vav. Yaakov is written with a Vav. So Yaakov took the Vav as collateral that he'll not complete Eliyahu's name until he comes to finish his job. At that point, Yaakov will give back Eliyahu his name. Now you have to understand, number one, if the whole intention of Yaakov Avinu is that Eliyahu Hanavi will complete his mission, he wanted to make sure that Eliyahu Hanavi will come to announce a day before the coming of the Mashiach, why was it necessary for Yaakov to make this point five different times? Like Rashi says, five times the name Yaakov is written with a vav. Why wouldn't it be enough that one time Yaakov should be written full with a vav, and Eliyahu should be missing one vav, and one time will be enough as a collateral to guarantee that Eliyahu Anavi will come to tell us about the Moshiach? What was symbolized by doing it five times? And the other question is, if you're going to take a letter out of Eliyahu's name, why take specifically the vav? Why not take any other letter from the name? What is the symbolism of taking specifically the vav from Eliyahu's name? The Mizrahi says that maybe the idea that it is written five times the word Yaakov if a vav, and why was it required to be five times, is to allude to that Yaakov Avinu made Eliyahu Anavi swear in the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, in the five books of Moses, that he will come and announce the redemption of the Moshiach, that Moshiach will come. And he brings the Pasuk on Behaloischa, chapter 8, Pasuk number 19, that every time something is written five times, it comes to allude to the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, so to here, it will come to allude to the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Because the Pasuk there says, Vo'et nos alevim nesunim laharon levanov mitoich b'nei Yisrael, and I will give the levim given to Aharon Ivanov from the Jewish people, b'nei Yisrael, one time, la'avoytas avoytas b'nei Yisrael, so they should work the work of b'nei Yisrael, is written two times, bo'el moed in the oil moed, u'lechaper b'nei Yisrael, and to atone for the b'nei Yisrael three times, v'yel b'nei Yisrael negev, and there won't be a plague for the Jewish people. That's the fourth time, Begeshes b'nei Yisrael l'kodesh, when the Jewish people come to the Kodesh. So it's written five times the word b'nei Yisrael in that pasuk. And Rashi says to tell you that the Jewish people are as important as the five books of Moses. You see from there that every time it's mentioned five times, it comes to allude to the five books of Moses. So to here, according to Mizrahi, Yaakov Avinu made Eliyahu Anavi swear in the five times, in the five books of Moses, and that is alluded to the five times that he took away the vav from Eliyahu Hanavi's name and put it in Yaakov's name, so Yaakov is Moleh and Yaakov has got a vav. The Maharal in Gurariya asks a question on the Mizrahi, if Yaakov Avinu already took a collateral, which means a guarantee, then why was it required for him to swear, for Eliyahu Hanavi to swear on the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, on the five books of Moses? If you rely on the swearing, then you do not take a collateral. And if you take a collateral, then it is not required to swear. Therefore, the Maharal brings down that the idea is that since he took a collateral, and the Pasuk in Mishle writes down that when you take a collateral, it is considered as you gave a hand, as you shook your hands on that, because in Mishle, Perik Vav, Pasuk Aleph says, Bni, my son, imorafto l'reyacho, if you have become a guarantor for your friend, tokato lazor kapecho, you have given your handshake for a stranger. And that means that every time you give a collateral is like you give a handshake, and a handshake has five fingers. In a hand you have five fingers. So therefore, Yaakov Avinu decided to take five times the vav from Eliyahu Hanavi, to allude to the handshake that you give when you take a collateral. And with that idea, he also wants to answer, why did Yaakov Avinu specifically take the letter vav from Eliyahu Hanavi? Why he didn't take any other of the letters of Eliyahu Hanavi? And he explains that each vav is like a long finger, and each finger is shaped like a vav, that Yaakov Avinu took five times the letter vav to allude to that he's taking five fingers, which is allusion to somebody gives a pledge, like the Pasuk in Mishle explains, it is like a handshake. So therefore he took five times the letter vav, which is five fingers which is a hint that Eliyahu gave a pledge to Yaakov that he will come to tell about the Moshiach. So that's what it means, that you take five fingers, which is Hey Vav. And this interpretation, the Maral says, is consistent with the Mishnah in Aholos that says that a hand has got 30 Avarim, 30 bones. So according to this, comes out that Yaakov Avinu took five Vavs, which numerical value of Vav is 6. So he took 5 times the numerical value of 6, which is 30, to allude to that he gave a handshake on that deal with Eliyahu, that Eliyahu will come and tell us about the Moshiach. The Sifse Chachomim gives a little bit different answers, and the Sifse Chachomim is actually not here on the Mikras Gedoilas. It's under the Oitze Meforshe Rashi HaTorah, and there he brings idea that since the Medrash in Yalkut says that Eliyahu Novi will appear 5 different times and announce the coming of the Moshiach, the Yalkut brings down that Eliyahu, before the Moshiach will come, will first announce the Tzaddikim that he will come, and then he will come to certain towns and certain communities and announce that Moshiach will come, and then he will go on top of the mountains for 3 days, and on each day he will announce from the top of the mountain that Moshiach is going to come. So it comes out that you have 3 days on the mountain, one that is going to the towns, one is going to tell Tzaddikim, so that is 5 times that Eliyahu Novi is going to announce the coming of the Moshiach. So therefore Yaakov Avinu took the collateral 5 times that Moshiach will exercise his job on every time. That all the 5 times he'll come and announce the coming of the Moshiach. And the Sifse Chachomim gives a very simple interpretation why Yaakov Avinu decided to take just the letter Vav from the name of Eliyahu. He didn't take any other letters. He says that since the Vav is the only letter that he won't change the name of Yaakov, will just add to the name, because any other letter will change the pronunciation of the word Yaakov. So therefore, Yaakov Avinu decided to take a letter that won't change his name. He also brings down from the name of Tzroi Ramor that since Moshiach will come by Elev HaShishi, since Moshiach will come in the 6,000th year, in other words, he'll come between the 5,000th and 6,000. So therefore, Yaakov Avinu took specifically the letter Vav, because that's in the 1,000th that Moshiach will come. We are now in 5,766, which we are in the 6,000th. Now we are definitely waiting for Moshiach at any day. So therefore, Yaakov Avinu took specifically, according to Tzroi Ramor, he took the letter Vav because of that. But in truth, if you take a look, the name Eliyahu, it's composed of Kael, Yud Kei, and a Vav. So if you take any other name, you split the name of Hashem. Aleph Lamed is the name of Hashem. Yud Kei is the name of Hashem. So therefore, the only possible letter that he could take away from Eliyahu is the Vav. And also, the Gurariya brings down that since the name of Eliyahu is not going to be complete, that his whole mission is to be Mevaser de Geula, Eliyahu's whole purpose is to announce the coming of the Moshiach. So therefore, to allude to Eliyahu's name is not complete until Moshiach comes, Yaakov took the Vav to remind him that you have not completed your mission until you actually announce the coming of the Moshiach. The same idea that in Parshas B'Shalach, after we have the war of Amalek, there it's written, Ki Yad Al Kes Ka Milchemes Lashem B'Amalek Midor Dor, that Amalek Kaviyachal is fighting with the Hashem until the generation of Mashiach, and there it's written the word Kes, meaning throne. It's written without the Aleph, and they explain that the idea is that the throne of Hashem is diminished by Amalek, is not complete, Kaviyachal, until Amalek is destroyed from this world. The same thing, the last letter, the Aleph, is missing. So too here, the Vav, which is the last letter of the name of Eliyahu, is missing to show that his mission is not complete until he comes and tells about Moshiach. I wanted to answer, why did Yaakov Avinu specifically take the letter Vav as a guarantee with the Chasam Sofer on Parshas Beshalach on Zeh Keli Ve'Anveil. There he explains that the Gemara Menachos Dav Chof Tes Amud Beis 29b brings down the Pasuk in Yeshaya 26 Pasuk 4 says Bitchu B'Hashem Adayat, trust in Hashem forever, Ki Beko Hashem, because if Yud Kei Hashem Tzur Elamim, Hashem created the worlds, plural. So the Gemara says that Hashem created this world and the world to come with the letter Yud Kei. The Gemara has a question, how was this world created? The Gemara brings down from the Pasuk, Ele Toidus HaShemayim Behi Baram, that it says in Bereishis chapter 2, Pasuk number 4 says, this is the creation of the world, Behi Baram, when they were created, the letter He is small, which means to say, Behei Baram, that Hashem created the world with the letter He. If Hashem created this world with the letter He, and Hashem created both worlds with the letter Yud Kei, so it comes out the world to come was created with the letter Yud. And he explains that the tzaddikim and the world to come is considered like Yud because of what the Gemara in Tainus brings down at the end, that Osid HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lasses Machu LaTzaddikim, that Hashem will make a circle for tzaddikim, Ve'yoshev B'neim B'Gan Eden, and he'll sit amongst them in Gan Eden. That's on Tainus, Daf Lamed Aleph, Amed Aleph 31a, where it says Hashem will make a circle, so the world to come where tzaddikim are there, that will be like a circle. That the world to come was created with letter Yud. The Chasam Sofer explains that when Moshiach will come, Hashem will send out a Mesila, which is will send like a ramp, or he'll make a little small pathway coming out for Gan Eden to be able to take the people from this world to the world to come. That when Moshiach will come, all the evil people will be eradicated from this world, and then this world will become like a Vav, which means that Hashem will send a ramp down from the world to come, which explains Jacob's ladder accordingly, that Jacob saw a ladder coming down from this world to the world to come. He saw the end of days where the ladder is going to serve as the Jewish people connection from this world to the world to come, as the place where the Jewish people will come through and go up through that ladder to the world to come, to the Olam Haba. And he explains that's what it means by the name of Hashem being Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, that right now it's Yud-Kei, but since Hashem Yud-Kei Vav-Kei means He was, He is, and He will be, so Vav-Kei is alluding to the time when Moshiach, where He is connecting this world to come to this world by making a circle and something coming out, a ladder coming out of it, ladder spelled L-A-D-D-E-R, it looks like a Vav. So that's the idea of having a Vav. According to Chasam Sofer, that is what the name of Hashem is going to be, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, which means that eventually will be a new name that will be able to connect us to the tzaddikim who are already in Olam Haba, which we are in a circle, and we'll be able to pull ourselves or go ourselves with the Vav to the world to come. So according to this Chasam Sofer, we could say that that is exactly the reason why Yaakov Avinu took specifically the letter Vav from Eliyahu. He wasn't alluding to the name of Eliyahu, he was alluding to that the future, when Eliyahu comes in Mevaser Mashiach, and then we're going to get the Mesila, the ramp coming down from the world to come to this world, and we'll be able to go up in this ramp to the world to come, so we'll have the Vav connecting us from this world to the world to come. So that is the reason why Yaakov wanted specifically to take the letter Vav. The next Rashi asks a question, why is it written the order Vezochartes Brisi Yaakov, I'll remember my covenant of Jacob, Vafes Brisi Yitzchok, now remember my covenant of Yitzchok, Vafes Brisi Avraham Ezkoir, and also my covenant of Avraham, I'll remember, why isn't it written in order, I remember the covenant of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So Rashi says that it's Kedeu Yaakov Akotin Lekach, that I think that Yaakov has enough merits to save the Jewish people. But let's say Yaakov doesn't have enough merits to save the Jewish people, then I'll bring the merits of Yitzchak. And let's say Yitzchak doesn't have enough merits to the Jewish people, then I'll bring the merits of Avraham. And that's how Rashi explains the order of this psukim. That the order of Yaakov, Yitzchok, and Avram is saying that we first try to tap in to the merit of Yaakov. If you don't have enough merits, then we go to Yitzchok. And if it doesn't have enough merits, we'll go to Avraham. The Maral asks a question that we know in Parshas Kisiso, after the Jewish people did the golden calf, Moshe Rabbeinu came and prayed for Hashem on chapter 32, Pasuk number 13. There it says, Zechor l'Avraham l'Yitzchok l'Israel avodecho. Remember Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, your servants. Asher nishbat lohem boch, that you swore to them in your name. So we see that Moshe Rabbeinu there is using the order Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. How come here the order is Yaakov, Yitzchak, and Avraham? The Maral, the first answer, explains that depends who is talking. Right here, in the middle of the admonitions, Hashem Yisborach is talking, and Hashem Yisborach is saying, don't worry, I'll take care of you. Yaakov has got enough merits, but even if Yaakov doesn't have enough merits, then Yitzchak has enough merits. And if Yitzchak doesn't have enough merits, then Avraham has enough merits. That is because Hashem knows that we have enough merits regardless. But there, Moshe Rabbeinu is talking, and he's asking Hashem to forgive us for the great sin of the golden calf. And Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't know exactly how much merits each of the forefathers have and how much merits is required to atone for the sin of the golden calf. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu joins them all together with one remembrance. He says, Zechor l'Avraham l'Yitzchak l'Yaakov, remember Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and joined all together because you want to maximize all the merits that you could have, because you don't want to have the chance that they will not individually have the merits, and then the Jewish people will suffer. So Moshe Rabbeinu has no choice. He has to join them all together. Once you join them all together, then you give them in the proper order of our forefathers. But here Hashem is talking, and here is mentioned, V'zochartes brisi Yaakov, I'll remember my covenant of Yaakov, and also my covenant of Yitzchak, and now remember also the covenant of Avraham. And he explains that that is the reason why Rashi asks a question, why isn't it mentioned by Yitzchak, the word remembrance? In other words, the Pasuk says, I'll remember my covenant of Yaakov and also my covenant of Yitzchak, and I'll remember the covenant of Avraham. So how come it's not written by Yitzchak the language I'll remember? And Rashi answers that Hashem does need to remember the covenant of Yitzchak because the ashes of Yitzchak are always in front of the throne of Hashem. So he explains that the Rashi's question means that since now we mentioned that Hashem is going to individually remember each covenant, that each covenant has enough merits by itself to cause the Jewish people to survive, then the question is, how come Hashem did not put the word remembrance by Yitzchak? By Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu asks all three together, since we put them all three together, then one zechor, one remembering is enough, because you want to remember all three jointly, that they will have enough merits to cause the Jewish people to survive. But Hashem is speaking here, and Hashem knows how much merit is, and he's saying he's going to remember individually. Then Rashi's question, how come it's not written the word remembrance by Yitzchak, is a good question, and therefore Rashi has to answer that the ashes of Yitzchak are always in front of Hashem, and it's always reminding Hashem of his covenant. That is how we explain Rashi. But the Maral himself explains that it's a big difference, since we know that according to the Midrash, the image of Yaakov is engraved in the Kisya Kovot. Obviously, if something is engraved in the Kisya Kovot, that means that Hashem, every time he's sitting in his throne, is looking directly at the image of Yaakov. So here, since Hashem is the one saying that he is going to remember the covenant of Yaakov, the covenant of Yitzchak, and the covenant of Avraham, so it means to say that since I see it always, the first thing you remember is always the things you see constantly. That if you see constantly the throne, and the throne has the image of Hashem, so that's the first thing you remember. So therefore you tap in to the first merit, which is the merit of Yaakov. And the second merit, like Rashi explains, is the merit of the ashes of Yitzchak, because that is closest to Hashem, because Hashem is always looking at it, because it's in front of Hashem constantly. And the third thing you'll remember is the covenant of Abraham, because Avraham Avinu is not present. Yitzchok and Yaakov are present. Yaakov is the throne, Yitzchok is the ashes, but Avraham is not present. So therefore, that is the third thing he'll remember because it's further removed. In other words, you always remember what is closest to you. So that's why the order here goes Yaakov, Yitzchok, and Avraham. But Moshe Rabbeinu, which Moshe Rabbeinu knew that Yaakov's image is in the throne of Hashem, so Moshe Rabbeinu goes in the reverse order because he's further away from Hashem. So he first remembers Avraham, looking from the other side. So he first sees Avraham, then he sees Yitzchok, and he gets closer to the throne, he sees Yaakov. So the Maral explains, each one is saying according to the order of what he sees first. Hashem sees first Yaakov, because the throne, then he sees Yitzchok because of the ashes, and later he sees Avraham, so therefore he says the order Yaakov, Yitzchok, and Avraham. But Moshe Rabbeinu, who is further away, he sees first the merits of Avraham, then he sees the merits of Yitzchok, which is the ashes, and then he'll get a closer look in the merits of Yaakov, which is by the throne of Hashem. The Dubna Magid, as always, gives a beautiful example why in this parsha it's written Yaakov first and then Yitzchok and then Avraham. And he explains by way of an example that there was once a merchant that had a client that bought from him $100,000 worth of merchandise, worth of nuts. And after the client loaded up the whole truck of nuts, the merchant decided to give him as a gift a small bag of nuts as an extra, as a bonus. Like we see a lot of times when you buy merchandise, you get extra as a bonus, what is normally called gift with purchase. That if you purchase something, you get a gift. So there was a person that saw this happening and realized that this person received a gift, this extra package, without paying. So he came to complain, I want also the extra gift. Why are you giving him the gift? I also want a gift. The merchant answered him, fool, you know why I give him the gift? Because he bought from me $100,000. I made a handsome profit. So once I make handsome profit, I could afford to give him a little gift. But you didn't buy from me anything. I didn't make any money off you. So why should I just give you, for no reason, this gift? So the Dubna Magid explains that this is the example from our parsha. Had we started with Avraham, had we started with Yitzchak, then the children of Avraham and the children of Yitzchak would have complained that we want also the same pity, the same kindness that you do, we want also for that you should do to us. That Ishmael, which is a child of Avraham, and Esav, which is a child of Yitzchak, would have complained that the same way you're giving a gift for the children of Israel, so too we want also a gift, because Avraham is also the same thing, the same prophet you made from Avraham, to share and receive the gift that comes by the covenant of Avraham. But now that Hashem starts with Yaakov, and in other words, Hashem is saying that Yaakov kept the Torah, and because Yaakov kept the Torah in mitzvahs, therefore I am giving him the extra bonus, I'm giving him the extra package, because I get something out of him, I made a profit out of him, l'kav yochel, that he's doing my will, and I get satisfaction for what he does, then I give him the extra package, which is the covenant of Yitzchok and the covenant of Abraham. That I just don't give the covenant of Yitzchok and the covenant of Abraham, because the covenant of Yitzchok and Abraham, I haven't made a profit yet, because even the children of Esav, the children of Ishmael, could share in that profit. But once I start with Yaakov, and Yaakov mitoso shleima, Yaakov, all his children were righteous, and Yaakov does my will, so then, because I made a profit of him, because he's doing my will, then I give him extra, I throw him the covenant of Yitzchak and the covenant of Avraham. But had he not done my will, then I wouldn't have thrown him, or I wouldn't give it to him, the covenant of Yitzchak and the covenant of Avraham. That interpretation is brought down by the Sefer Toises Bracha, which is from the same Mechaber of the Torah Tamima. Toises Bracha connects it to the Pasuk in Bahar, Parshas Chof Hei Mem Tes. It's telling you, when a person does not have any money and he be sold to a non-Jew, the Torah tells you, after he has been sold, he should have a redemption. One of his brothers should redeem him. Then the Pasuk says, oi doidoi, or his uncle, or his cousin should redeem him, or any close to his flesh should redeem him, from his family should redeem him, or if he could have the money, he should redeem himself. And the Gemara in Kedushin, the Chafal of Amud Beis, brings down that a karev koidem, that the mitzvah to redeem a person that was sold to a Gentile, the mitzvah to redeem lies first the next of kin. The nearest relative is the one that has the obligation to redeem. That kol misha kravosa mishpacha, that anybody who is closer to the family has the obligation first of redemption. And he explains also that if you take a look at the psukim, always by Yaakov is written the word redemption. For example, in Yirmiyahu Lamed Aleph, there it says, Kipodo Hashem es Yaakov, Hashem remembered Yaakov and redeemed him. And then it says, Isaiah 47 says, that Hashem redeemed Yaakov. And he brings a couple other examples that whenever it's mentioned the word Geula, associated to any of our forefathers, the one associated with is Yaakov. The question is, why is Yaakov always related to the word of redemption? So he explains in a beautiful way. Wait a minute, if that is true, then we know that Avraham Avinu is our great-grandfather, Yitzchak is our grandfather, and Yaakov is basically our father. Because in generations, the one closest is Yaakov. So comes out that Hashem here is telling us that he's talking about redeeming us from captivity, redeeming us from the goyim, redeeming us from the exile, from the admonition, and Hashem is telling he's going to redeem us. The obligation to redeem us lies always in the one that's closest to us. And the one that's closest to us, in this case, is Yaakov. So therefore, Hashem has to start telling us that he will start taking the merits first of Yaakov, because Yaakov is the one that's closest to us, is the closest kin to us. From our three forefathers, Yaakov is the one that is closest of relationship to us. Therefore, it's his obligation to redeem us. The obligation is in the next of kin. So Hashem, when he's counting again, that I'm going to count the merits for you to be redeemed, he has to start counting from Yaakov. We're not saying that Yaakov may have more merits than Avraham or Yitzchak, and that's the reason that he is mentioned first. We are counting just the one that's next of kin. That Hashem is telling us, I'm first going to take the merits from the one that's next of kin, which is Yaakov, and if he doesn't have merits, then I'll go up a level, I'll go up to Yitzchak, and if he doesn't have merits, then I'll go up the next level to Avraham, because all three have the obligation to redeem you, because any time a relative is in tzuras, a relative is sold into captivity, then the obligation lies in the next of kin to redeem him, and the next of kin happens to be Yaakov. So therefore, Hashem is telling us here in our situation that I will redeem you in the merit of Yaakov. But by Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Kisiso, by the story of the golden calf, where he's talking about forgiveness of sin, there he could join, put all three together and say, remember Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, because there it has nothing to do with the next of kin. There we want to use a cumulative merits to redeem the Jewish people. Has got nothing to do with priority by that person that is the next of kin, because we weren't sold yet into captivity. And at that point, we want to use the conjunctive merit of everybody in order not to be punished. But here, since we already sold in captivity, then we have to count according to the Torah to the next of kin, that the next of kin is the one responsible first to redeem you. So here we have to reverse the order and say Yaakov first, and then Yitzchak, and then Avraham. Reb Zalman Saratzkin in Sefer Oznayim LaTorah explains this idea in a beautiful way. He explains that we know that each of our forefathers, each one of them, had a certain attribute. Avraham was the midah of chesed, the attribute of chesed, kindness, and Yitzchak was the attribute of avoider, of service to Hashem, how to serve Hashem with self-sacrifice, and Yaakov was the attribute of emes, of truth, because it says titen emes le Yaakov, and we know that emes means Torah, and that is called Yaakov, ish tam, Yosheva Halim, that Yaakov was a man that was sitting in the tents, that he was sitting and learning Torah. And he explains that for sure, that is not to say that Avraham Avinu did not have avoda and Torah, self-sacrifice, devotion to Hashem, and he also learned Torah. or that Yitzchak did not have avoida gemilas chasadim and Torah, or that Yaakov did not have Torah avoiding gemilas chasadim. Obviously, all three of them had these three attributes, but each one of them excelled and had a need in the world at the time when he came to work on one attribute that it attracted people because of that, and that was his purpose on this world. He explains, Avraham Avinu came here, and during his time, people were idolatrous, nobody believed in God. Avraham Avinu realized that in order to get these people to believe in God, the only way to reach them is through acts of kindness, and therefore he decided to build a Eishel, which is the acronym Achilah Shtiyah Leviyah, that he fed the people, he gave them to drink, and he also accompanied them outside his tent. That Avraham Avinu put up a tent open to all four sides, and he fed people for no money. And every time somebody came and told them, thank you very much for your food and hospitality, he told them, don't thank me, thank for the creator of the world. And through that, people were connected to God and they stopped their idolatrous ways. Yitzchak already had people connected to Hashem, so he had to show them Mesiras Nefesh. He had to show them how to do self-sacrifice, how you have to risk everything and be willing to give up everything for the service of Hashem. And that was the next step, which is avoda, which is service of Hashem. But he didn't need to show them through act of loving kindness, because they already connected through Avraham Avinu. And in the time of Yaakov, people already knew about loving kindness. They already knew about Hashem. They already knew how to serve Hashem. So now all they needed was an improvement and learn mitzvahs of the Torah, to know what Hashem wants from you and how to do the mitzvahs. That's what Yaakov's mission was, to teach Torah to the people. Nonetheless, we see that the Torah, the Amud HaTorah, the way that Yaakov learned, is the most important one, because that is the way that the rabbis say in Masechtas Avos, Perek Aleph Mishnah Beis, in the ethics of our fathers, it says, Ashloisha Dvarim Ho'ilam Oimet, on three things, on three pillars, the world stands, Ala Torah, on Torah, Ala Avoida, on the service of Hashem, Vagimlas Chasodim, and on act of loving kindness. The first one is mentioned is Torah, which is Yaakov, Avoida, which is Yitzchok, Gemilas Chasodim, which is Avraham. So we see that they give preferential treatment to the pillar of Torah. And they list it first as to imply that this is the more important step. So Rav Sorotzkin explains that according to this, we understand very well how come the order in this pasuk starts with Yaakov and goes back to Yitzchak and Avraham. Hashem is talking about a person that is doing tshuva. And Hashem is saying, if you're doing tshuva and you reach the best level, the level of Yaakov, then that level of Yaakov will help you for you to be forgiven and thereby survive. If you do tshuva and you are the level that you have Torah, then Hashem will forgive you because of that level of Torah. And not only that, if you can't achieve the level of Yaakov, but you have the level of avoda, that you have the level of Mesiras Nefesh, that you're willing to sacrifice yourself for Hashem, even though you don't have Torah, then that merit or that level will help you, that you will be redeemed because of that. And even if you don't have that merit, you only have the merit of Avraham Avinu, which is the merit of acts of loving kindness, that you do Gemilas Chesed, you don't have Torah, and you don't know how to serve Hashem, but yet you know how to do loving kindness to your fellow man, that level itself will serve enough to redeem you. Sefer Oznaim LaTorah explains that is Pshat in Pasuk. Vezocharti es Brisi Yaakov. I remember my covenant of Yaakov. The covenant was given to Yaakov because of his attribute of Torah. And if you have Torah, then I will redeem you because of the covenant of Yaakov. Va'af es Brisi Yitzchak. And I'll also remember my covenant of Yitzchak, which is avoida, which is service to Hashem. Va'af es Brisi Avraham Eskor. And I also remember my covenant of Avraham, which I gave him because of his attribute of chesed, of loving kindness. Therefore, if you have any of these attributes that the covenants were sealed by either the attribute of Torah, and not only that, if you have the attribute of avoda, or at least have the attribute of loving kindness, that you are kind to one another and you're doing chesed to your fellow man, that is enough, a level that I will redeem you. And then he explains the ha'aretz eskoir, and I'll remember the land. So he explains in the name of Rashmil David Vulcan, that what does it mean, va'aretz eskoir, that I'll remember the land, that even though you don't have gemilas chesed, you're not doing act of loving kindness, but you still have a love for Eretz Yisrael, you're a person that doesn't have Torah, you're a person that doesn't have avoda, you're a person that doesn't do gemilas chasadim, you don't do acts of loving kindness, but yet you still have a love of Eretz Yisrael, that love of Eretz Yisrael will serve for me to redeem you. So he says, that's what the pasuk says, va'aretz eskoir, that even the love of the land, even if you don't do act of loving kindness, I will still redeem you. The other interpretation is brought down by Sefer Makloi Shel Aharon, based on the Gemara in Bava Basra Daf Tzadik Aleph Omed Aleph. There the Gemara says, Omar Rav Chanan Bar Rava Omar Rav. Rav Chanan, the son of Rava, says the name of Rav. Elimelech of the story of Ruth, the Shalmoin, and Salmoin, which is the father of Boaz, Uploini Almoini, and Ploini Almoini, which is the person that he found and wouldn't redeem Ruth, Vavi Noami, and the father of Noami, Kulom Bnei Nachshon Ben Aminadov Hain. They are all children of Nachshon Ben Aminadov. So the Gemara asks a question, Maiko Mashmalon, what you telling me, why is it relevant for me to know who they were? He answers, Shafilu Mishyeshlo Yizchus Avois, that even a person that has the merits of the parents, in other words, Nachshon Ben Aminadov was a great man, was a man that according to the Midrash threw himself in the sea, and because of him the sea split, and he was the leader of the tribe of Yehuda. Eino Omedesloi Beshash Sheyoytze Me'ores Lechusarez, that even your merits of your fathers, that you have great merits, still don't work for you when you leave Eretz Israel to go Chutz Laretz. Sefer Makloi Shel Aharon explains that we see from here that when you Chutz Laretz, then the merits that you have from your forefathers do not work. So he explains that that's what the Torah means to say, that I'll remember the covenant of Yaakov, the covenant of Yitzchak, and the covenant of Avram, but I could only remember Va'aretz Eskoir. I could only remember if you are in the land. So Hashem is telling us that He's going to bring us back to the land, and then we will remember the merits of our forefathers. So in a way, Hashem is telling us a bracha, that first He will bring us back to the land, and once we are back in the land, then Hashem will remember the covenant of the forefathers. So that's why it's written here in the pasuk, Va'aretz Eskoir, I'll remember the land, to tell you that you'll come back to the land, and once you're back in Eretz Yisrael, then the merits of your forefathers or your parents will be able to help. But if you're Chutz Laretz, then all the merits that you have from your parents or your forefathers will not help you. And Hashem Yisbarach should help that we should be able to have the Torah, and should be able to have Avoda, and should be able to have Gemilas Chasadim, acts of loving kindness, be Zoiche to go back to Eretz Yisrael. And if you're Eretz Yisrael, then we'll have the merit of our forefathers. And also Hashem should help that Brisi Yaakov, the covenant of Yaakov, where it's written Male, where it's written with the Vav, that Yaakov has the collateral from Eliyahu, that he will come, and like the Zohar says, he'll come in the 6,000th year, which we are in now. So Hashem should help that he should come soon. We should hear announcements of Mashiach's coming, and then the Beis Hamikdash should be rebuilt, and we'll be all able to have kibbutz goliyos. We're all going to be the ingathering of the exile. We'll all see the glory of Hashem revealed. Bimheiro b'yameinu, amen.